This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Staub Audio Engineering. If you have listened to any of the episodes, you have undoubtedly heard me talk about Mike and the phenomenal audio engineering work that he does. His mixes and masters are truly some of the best that I've ever heard. I love working with Mike on all of our Dreamfield tunes, on all of our Summit One tunes. He is an absolute wizard. Make sure to hit him up, inquire about mixing and mastering prices, and take your tracks to the next level. Oh, yeah. And Mike is also one of the nicest, kindest human beings you'll ever meet. Definitely hit him up and work with him.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of the producers, artists, and creators that are tuning into the show. My name is Cody Christensen, and you are listening to the Chilled Samples Podcast.
My friend, I'm super excited to have you back on the show and to have the opportunity to talk with you. There's been a lot of very interesting and exciting developments over at Clover, and I'm excited to talk about those, and I'm grateful to have been a part of that. And before we dive in, I just want to ask, Luke, how are you doing, dude?
I am doing very well. I'm kind of overworked at the moment because of all of the project, but regarding that, I am doing very well nearing the summer and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think, Luke, if I remember correctly, the last time we recorded an episode, you were overworked. And I'm assuming that I also said that I was overworked. So I think maybe.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we do it. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Overworked, but good. But it's funny because, you know, if I think of, you know, has there been a 2 week period any time in the past like 5 years that I wasn't overworked? And probably not.
And we're probably chasing that, both you and I, like getting to that state, doing as much as possible we can manage.
Yeah, man. I think so. And as long as we're happy, I think that's kind of my barometer of should I keep going? And if I'm happy, like, yeah. But yeah, man. So for people that might not be familiar with you, who are you, and what do you do? What brands do you operate?
My music alias is Lo-Fi Luke, where I do lo-fi music, produce. I work in the Clover Records record label, which is it's pretty much the same. We work in the lo-fi scene and release a lot of music within the lo-fi scene, and then we're trying to branch out to do a little bit more for the artists, so help them with like graphics profile and other useful tools like Fader, the one we're going to talk about in a bit. So that's pretty much what I'm working with right now that is not behind the scenes. And then of course I'm not sure, should we start talking about Fader right now, or do we like need more information regarding Clover Records? I'm not sure how many heard the previous episode that we were speaking of.
Yeah, well, I'm sure a lot of the listeners are certainly familiar with Clover Records and familiar with you. And I think, Luke, if it feels like the right time to jump into Fader, let's jump into Fader, man.
That's what I just want to repeat myself regarding the label and everything. I think that's the most interesting subject we can talk about right now. So yeah, I wanna talk about Fader.
Let's dive in, man. Let's dive in.
So Fader, this is quite interesting. We're gonna launch it tomorrow. Today is the 27th, and we're gonna launch it 28th, and it's gonna be a little bit different time zones. But this is a project that we've been working with for the last 6 months, 7 months nearing. And it's going to be a application for artists and producers and probably even creators in other genres and styles as well that needs the help to get the work sold and shown to a wider audience. And by that, I mean, of course, merch. We're talking sample packs. We're looking at illustration, digital art, which is not going to launch like in the immediate launch, but we are working on that as well right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Luke, and it's so exciting to hear this. And I guess as an artist, there's a lot of people, myself included, and a lot of artists that I work with, where we want to launch merchandise sites, we want to launch sample pack sites, and we do. And I've done I've done all of those multiple times, and it's hard. it is so hard to manage your Shopify site, to successfully put the marketing campaigns for launches, it's just hard, man. It's hard and it's time consuming. And I think there's I have a marketing degree as well. I'm interested in marketing. Like, I actually love marketing, but it's still difficult. And I think providing an outlet for individuals within our community that want to work on other products aside from just their song. So if somebody wants to have a sample pack site or a merchandise site, to have something like Fader and the team behind Fader to help with the launch and really the platform is huge because it's an exhausting effort to build both those sites. And this is, you know, I have a website and I've tried to do a lot of different campaigns with small success. So I'm excited to, as an artist, and as an artist that's going to be on Fader, I'm excited for the opportunity to turn the marketing and the platform management over to Fader. So, on a personal note, thank you for creating Fader for everybody in our community, man.
It's not, and it's funny to say it, but I would like to ask you what is the biggest issues that you've faced when you've created those websites and those merchandise Shopify sites? Why haven't that become the main part of your brand?
Driving traffic is
driving traffic.
Driving traffic. Because creation for me, that's where a lot of the joy is. So like building a website, that brings me joy. Working with a graphic designer, that brings me joy. Creating sample packs, that brings me joy. But then the launch sequences and the campaigns behind it, that brings me joy maybe to a lesser extent, but I've never had enough success on those launches to feel like all the effort was worth it. So it's certainly traffic. And I really love Russell Brunson and his marketing work, and I've read all of his books. And he talks about a quote from a 1990s movie, Field of Dreams, where it's like, if you build it, they will come. And he essentially is like, no, that doesn't work without a marketing plan behind it. And so I've certainly got exhausted, and you know, that's with chilled samples. So with chilled samples, I have sample pack, I have my social media sites, I have the podcast itself. Then of course I have my lo-fi projects, and then I have Crystal Grid, my electronic project. Then I work with Deer. I have so many different projects that like managing all of the launch sequences can be just exhausting. And so I think for me, driving traffic, and I don't want to speak out of school, but I think that is going to be the most appealing thing for artists joining Fader. And either artists like myself that have tried multiple times and haven't seen the success that they want, and they're like, dude, I'm tired of pushing. I want to turn the marketing over to a team that can do it for me. I think those people will be excited. And then maybe creators that know they don't want anything to do with marketing are going to immediately go to you. And then, you know, maybe somebody has to build their Shopify site and run it for a year before they're like, you know what, I want to be a part of Fader.
Probably. And I mean, I don't think necessarily it has to be bad that people has gone that route, because I assume people might appreciate the product even more if it works the way that we expect it to. But yeah, I agree. Driving traffic and just setting up a whole Shopify site that you have to be honest, I haven't set up a Shopify site, but I've been using Webflow. I assume they're quite similar. Mm-hmm. And just doing that for your own products and not seeing any sales and not seeing any traffic, just it's rough, man. Mm-hmm. And I feel so myself, and I've been focusing on it, and it takes away a little bit of the edge to keep doing it if the result is not as well received as you would have liked it to be. Mm-hmm. So yeah, especially with the merch, I don't know if you're gonna have to. I know a lot of people like print merch, order it to their garage or basement and keep it there in hopes of selling it, and it just become a costly process. I'm not sure, how was that the way you did it, or did you have a print on demand service for that?
So we have a for Crystal Grid, we have a print on demand service that was actually a local shop, which is pretty cool. So we were founded in Dayton, Ohio, and so our shop is Logos at Work, and so it was cool because we were able to, you know, go into the actual store itself, and so they still run our merch and our merch site. But nice. That was back in 2017, so it's been a while since we have even explored what options exist now.
Yeah, I got you. All right, cool. What you were able to like navigate through Fader since you were one of the mm-hmm. artists that's gonna be through that. What would you say, if it's not gonna come from me, but from you that's just seen a little bit and I'm not super what is the English word for it? You're not based, it's not that word that you're not
biased.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are the pros to it?
Well, the back end system, from what I've seen thus far, seems extremely intuitive and easy to learn. And so I only have one pack up currently, Lo-Fi Birds and Atmospheres, which I'm stoked to launch with you guys. But like even as I was exploring the back end system, I was excited for the opportunity to upload. And it looks like it's going to be an easy process, and it looks like analytics are going to be easy to read. So I'm excited for that. I also think it's cool. I noticed that there's like an approval system for uploading a new pack, which I'm excited for, to ensure, like to know that there's going to be a level of quality control. I'm not sure what level of quality that's going to be, but just know, like as a creator on there, knowing that there is going to be a level of quality control, it makes me it just makes me more confident in the site. Like you can't spend an hour making a crappy sample pack and sell it, and then because I mean that's damaging to Fader's reputation and everybody else's reputation on there. So seeing that, I think that was the cool to know that there has to be approval and somebody's going to be looking at that pack before it just gets uploaded to the site and offered to the community.
Yeah, and it's actually going to be like a two-step verification. So the first one that has to be approved is the artist page or the artist themselves, which we are going to go through carefully. And what we are looking for is not so much of style or genre or success. Prior success could be small artist, big artist, whatever, like anybody that feels that they could connect with the site, but more of how they like to present themselves in a way that we approve of. So we want to work with artists and creators that want to present themselves in a professional and like genuine way, which is pretty much all of the lo-fi scene already compared to other scene. We spoke about that in last episode as well. But so that's the first part, that we won't be accepting somebody that doesn't like give the... When you apply to be a creator on Fader sites, you have to include information about yourself, your Spotify, your links to various social media, so we'll be able to see what kind of kind of presence you have and stuff like that. And I don't think that we're going to decline too many, but I would assume that we are going to, the cases that we might decline is somebody that's just like created an Instagram yesterday. And you can see in the sample pack that it's not like thought through, and maybe they put an like exceptional high price on that one, so it just doesn't make sense as a product or a creator on there. I would assume that's like the case where we would say no, this doesn't really fit here. But yeah, that's the first button. Then of course for each new product we're gonna go through them, see so the artwork is properly uploaded, the description is correct with what's included in the sample pack. So we have the description of the sample pack, which is more of a like general biography, and then we have what's included, so you can see exactly you got 15 kicks, you got 15 snares, textures, whatever, and that should be included in there. And if that's missing in the upload, we're going to decline it and say fix this. We need we need information. The customer needs to know what's inside the pack, or this artwork. Yeah, it of course shouldn't be offensive in any way, but when it comes to the artwork, it can be in the style of the artist themselves, of course. But
Well, and something else, Luke, that was really intriguing when we first started talking about Fader, and you had approached me about it, was the non-exclusive element, which I thought was very, very cool. Because for me, like I haven't created any new sample packs this year. This summer I am, like Lo-Fi Birds and Atmospheres 2 and Mountain Beats Volume 2 is coming this summer. But so for somebody like me, like having the opportunity to create and promote on Fader, it would have been a lot more difficult if it would have been exclusive. Because of all of the work that I've put into my own personal Shopify site, and like all of the hours and the email addresses, which isn't a ton, but just the sweat equity, you know, it would have been a lot harder for me to be like, oh man, like I can't take down my site or take packs off of my site to have them on Fader. So I think that's just such a nice thing to do as a business owner, as somebody that Fader as a company, to be able to invite people from a non-exclusive perspective.
I think that's a requirement today to get anybody interested in the product, because as you say, people will have their own websites. People will have their own places where they market stuff, and putting an exclusive tag on there is just going to hurt the brand. It would also result in artists not wanting to sign up and have their products on there, which would make the site worse, because we want to have, our goal with Fader is to be like the one-stop shop for sample packs and merch for lo-fi artists in all of the scene. And if they were, let's say we would have 50% of the artists didn't want to join on Fader, Fader wouldn't be as good because everybody wouldn't be able to be found on there. So we really want people to, when they think of, I want to check out, let's say, Shield Samples merch or Shield Samples sample packs, they should be on Fader, because we don't want to give a reason to not be on there. And when it comes to the royalty fee and the royalty split like that, of course we will only take a fee on the sales that occurs on the Fader website. So if you do your marketing strategies on your own towards your own shop, still might be more profitable like per product for you, but with this you can have both. And I think that is very important.
I think it's super important. Talking about the goal of Fader is being the one-stop shop for sample packs and for merchandise for lo-fi artists, I kind of want to, can you take us back to like when you first had the idea for Fader and where the inspiration came from?
Yeah, so I actually have a very specific scenario that like born the whole idea for this one. And I don't remember the artist, but he had posted that he had dropped a new sample pack. And I wanted to buy that sample pack, but I couldn't. He had a link. He had a link tree in his Instagram bio, and in one of the links said my sample pack, and I went to it, and it was a broken link. And somehow I went around and found the sample pack on a site. It was called. It is a site that some people use to upload sample. I don't really know the name of it, but the payment method wasn't working either. Mm-hmm. So I probably spent 30 minutes trying to get that sample pack, and I couldn't. And in several instances, I've been like scouring social media for some of my favorite artists to see if they have sample packs, and I have to click through the links. I have to check, and some has it on their own website. Some has like a Beatport type of thing and stuff. And it's just a mess to not know if they have it or if they don't have it, unless you have like watched every single link. So that is like the first problem. I know we spoke a lot about the problems that we try to solve with Clover Records, that we try to be a real transparent and an open label and quick return times and stuff like that. And the same thing goes with Fader, that we're trying to solve a problem here in the industry, that people don't have to have an external website to upload their packs if they don't want to. And it should be easier to find. And if we're looking at like other sample packs libraries like Splice, I know a lot of people use Splice, and pretty much everybody knows what Splice is. If we're looking for Splice in a lo-fi term of production sounds, it is kind of weird to look for sounds there. Even if you search for genres, or if you search for like specific sounds, you try to put them in there, you will still get that Kashmir kick in your in your flow. And so it's just weird, even though Splice is a really good place to look for sample packs. So yeah.
Dude, and I Fader is about to be it's about to provide the best samples for people within the lo-fi scene, guaranteed. And even thinking about the current launch sequence of Mondo Loops to Gosan to me, I'm just so, and a bunch of the other artists, I think, just like you said, like you can scour the internet and you can find samples anywhere, but having a congregation of lo-fi artists that love this scene and love making sounds to share within this scene, like Fader is going to be absurd with the quality and uniqueness of sample packs. And honestly, I didn't really put that piece of the puzzle together right now until you just gave the Splice example. And I think I take for granted how many talented artists I get to talk to on a daily basis. Like, it's really insane.
Yeah.
of like how many talented people are just my friends that I get to be like, hey man, what's going on? And to know that a lot of those friends are about to be creating sample packs and selling them in the same place. Like, it's exciting. And I'm excited to buy other people's sample packs. And I guess from that perspective, so thinking about the market, so with this podcast in particular, most of the listeners are other lo-fi artists. And yeah. Like sometimes, and this is, it's been really, it's a really cool moment when it happens. So like I was on a, I was on a flight after I played a show with D-Rock, and I sat next to, her name was Maureen, and I think she was like 65, and she had found lo-fi during the pandemic, and she said like lo-fi saved her life, literally. And she's like, she works for like a political office in DC. So then I was able to share like, hey, well, look up some of your favorite artists, and there's a pretty good chance that like I've shared a conversation with them if you want to know the person behind the music. And I was visiting my home state last week, and I went and gave a talk to the music program, and the music teacher is a huge lo-fi girl fan. And I was like, oh, well, I have a bunch of lo-fi girl artists if you want to go like listen to the person behind the music. So it that's the long way of me saying like the main target audience, the main listeners of this podcast are other producers. But I'm also recording these episodes in the hope that as listeners of lo-fi potentially become even more invested in the scene, I have a catalog that they can be like, oh, wow, my favorite art. Like, I want to listen to my favorite artist talk.
Yeah.
And so obviously the artists that are going to be on Fade are just like I said, like, I'm so excited to buy Gosong Pak, you know, like,
yeah, and I work with nice them all the time. Well.
And I'm stoked. And same thing with Mondo Loops. And so a lot of the producers are going to be stoked. How else do you perceive the market, like the customers of Fader? Who do you anticipate those being?
I believe that initially we're going to look at a lot of producers who are looking for the packs, and it's probably going to be quite some time before people know that Fader exists, even though we're doing our best to get it out there, like, from the moment we launch it. But as it grows, I believe we can also make it to the place where fans will find merch from their favorite artists, which is going to open up for even the consumers of the music and not only the producers. And I feel those two sides of the coin is what creates, like, the whole circle. I spoke a little bit earlier that we're looking at to open up also maybe giving digital artists like illustrators the possibility to license or sell artworks, because the store supports that already. You would be able to upload an artwork, set a limit to one, and when somebody purchases that one, it gets taken off the shop. So you would be able to sell, like, full exclusive licenses on illustrations, but you would also be able to sell, like, not exclusive licenses. You would be able to put a limit on 20 sales on this artwork, maybe for a lower cost, and several people would be able to use that. So we see a growth in terms of other industries as well, not only the lo-fi scene, that could really implement the use of Fader.
And well, and so going back to merchandise, because even, man, it'd be cool to have, like it'd be cool for Gosong to buy a Chilled Samples shirt, and conversely for me to buy a Gosong shirt. So what does the merchandise site, like, look like? Are you planning on doing, tell me how the merchandise site works.
Do you mean like our partner site or how Fader merchandise site will look?
I guess both. So
both.
Both. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, sure. Taking it back a little bit, when we came up with this Fader idea, I wanted it to be as automatic and, like, it should do a lot of the work by itself. So when we decided we want to have merch on there, we browsed through to get a partner that we could connect through the API and have it shipped, paid, produced, printed, everything, so we won't have to do, like, any admin work regarding it. So the way it's currently set up is that we have a partner which is connected with the API with our store, and we will design and upload the merch through them, and then we just send it over to the store, and it's being displayed on each artist page on Fader. So on Chilled Samples, if you would have to have your merch on there, we would be able to design it. You would be able to design it. We can invite you as a designer to our partner's website. You would be able to design your own merch. And when you're done with the designing, we will just implement it on your artist page. So at the same place where you have your artist packs, your merch would be displayed there as well.
Is this going to be available soon?
It is available.
Oh, dude. That's going to be huge. I'm about to spend so much money on all of my friends' merchandise, dude. Because what an exciting idea. Oh, wow. Awesome. That is awesome. I need to look into that, because it is, that's incredible. I'm so excited to explore those options. Wow. I think that's going to be such an exciting piece of Fader for people to be able to support each other via merchandise. That's going to be huge.
Yeah, totally.
Wow. So thinking about genres, so right now, specifically focus on the lo-fi community. Do you and illustrators, like you were saying, but do you anticipate other genres becoming a part of Fader?
That's a very good question, and we raised it as well. I think we have to tread very carefully before we try to incorporate other genres, because we don't want to become the next Splice. Mm. So right now, the genres that are included are subgenres to lo-fi. So we have lo-fi, we have jazzy, we have chill hop, vaporwave, boom bap, and sleepy. So it's more of like six kind of different styles of lo-fi where we separate the packs. And it's a little bit hard to, I think probably going to have to do some work regarding the categories, and we're probably going to find a better way to display it, because it's kind of hard to set a genre on a pack, especially if it's just drums. Some of the artists have just drum packs. If there's some melodies in there that fits with the drums, it's easier to like distinguish which genre it is. But you are also able to put several genres on there. So, but to answer your question, I think that in the future we might let other genres in, but I also think that the artist creating packs, like say a dance pack or a hip hop pack, is not gonna be a company that creates those. It has to be an artist, an independent artist. It doesn't necessarily have to be an unsigned artist, but an artist that has created that, like as a some kind of form of art that they want to be displayed, that is not shoved up on Splice. Yeah, something like that. It's not something that we have planned to, we don't have a date for that. We don't have anything scheduled for that. But yeah, the site supports it to browse other genres as well. The site is made to support a lot of stuff that is not being launched right now.
Yeah. Well, I kind of want to dive into that, because I think we had a call in like December where we were, you gave me the opportunity to look at the front end a little bit and just share my perspective, which I appreciate. But so you and the team have been hustling since that point.
Oh yeah.
So tell us about just like I talked about the sweat equity in building like the chilled samples site along with the packs. Like, you guys are putting so much sweat equity into Fader. And so walk us through the development of this and how you and the team have managed to make this happen.
Yeah. So, we do have a developer that is not included in Clover Records, but he haven't built a site like this that is going to support multiple different vendors, where everybody's going to have their own creator profiles. So even though he has a lot of knowledge in creating e-commerce stores, he did get challenged with this one. And we are still finding small little changes that we are changing to it. But yeah, it started out with reaching out to this developer. We briefed the project to him, and he was interested, and we pretty much set up the core foundation of it. After that, there's been a lot of back and forth trying to get the site exactly that we want it to be. We have a few keywords that it should be clean, it should be very easy to use, like extremely easy to use, and we want it to feel nice to hang around with. That is probably the biggest difference from a developer point of view and someone who wants to create like a site that like me, that I have imagined a site that's going to work in this way. Because when you create a site, something that he believes might be a necessity for the site, maybe some cool features, but I just like, no one is going to use this feature, or this is not going to go well with the other stuff on here, and we have to remove or rearrange or move stuff like that. So that has been like the most exhausting part to get it the way we want it to look and feel. And I wouldn't really say that we are, that it's perfect. We're probably going to do minor changes all of the time, probably for a year from now on. But we have already delayed the launch about a month from where we initially thought it should be. So we thought, let's drop it. Let's do the best out of it. And I really hope that artists and creators will provide their feedback as well. So we can get everybody's help to know what should be improved.
Yeah. How did you manage? So Clover Records was solely focused on the label. And then all of a sudden you start working on building and developing Fader. Like, how did you allocate resources, both time, financially, collaborators? Like, how did you manage the new pursuit while continuing to run and operate Clover?
I think the main answer, and a short and simple answer to this, is none of the persons involved in Clover Record has earned a single dollar from the label yet. So all of the money that we are earning from royalties is staying in the company. It goes back into marketing, and we have been growing. So we saw regarding like the money question here, we saw that we would be able to save a little bit of money, that we would be able to pay this developer to do like the really hard lifting when it came to building the site. In regards of time, which is the biggest problem for us, I am producing very little right now, and I've been doing it for probably the past 4, 5, 6 months. I'm not spending, I would say that my share in Clover Records contra Lo-Fi Luke is maybe 90% Clover Records, 10% Lo-Fi Luke, and I pretty much only produce music when I got an opening, when I have a calm day or something like that. Mm-hmm. So the priorities for me has been very necessary to make. And same thing goes to Ted. He just got his kid a few months back. I don't know if I had it the last time we spoke.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. So he got a kid and he's running a full-time job. So he does so many hours in the evenings, and he's our admin guy and economics. So there's a lot of stuff that I can't do that he has to do, and it has to get solved. It has to be there when we do these things. So he's pulling a really heavy weight when it comes to these parts. And we have actually started working with a third person, like here in Sweden. He's called Carl. He doesn't have really any music experience, but he is a very close friend of ours that has run some pretty big businesses. So he comes in with some competence that can pull us in the right direction since we're quite inexperienced in some of these launching applications and like the proper business things. It's been a lot of trial and error, and that can take way more time than it has to be if you would just be able to ask someone. Mm-hmm. So priorities and just getting like a mutual share of work is probably how we'll be able to do it. But it's been rough.
Yeah, sounds intense, man. Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm grateful that you guys are going to finally be able to launch, because it's when you're grinding that hard and the product hasn't come to fruition yet, that becomes even more difficult. But now you're about to start. The feedback loop is going to become more expansive, and you're going to there's certainly going to be the rewards that come in from all of the work that you all have put. So I bet you guys are just stoked to finally launch this project and get it out into the world.
I'm a little bit scared actually for the launch, because I don't know what's going to go wrong. I'm certain something is going to go wrong, and I don't know how it's going to be perceived by the viewers, by the customers, by the artists. Maybe they think that it's something that is not required at all in the industry, or maybe they love it. So it can go both ways. Just my intuition says that it should be a good thing in the lo-fi scene. But yeah.
I have a feeling that everybody's going to love it. And I guess, I mean, based like you've obviously had conversation with Mondo Loops and Gosan. So like what are, I'm assuming the feedback you're getting thus far of people that you have ready for the launch is probably overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah. I mean, every artist that I've reached out to were pretty excited to be a part of it. And I had to choose my words pretty wisely because it could sound like something that would be weird, but with the correct words, it would be a platform where we would market their products and it's not exclusive. We want you on there. Let us promote the work, your products. We'll do the work for you. And we like that way of explaining it, Fader, because it's, since you don't have a site, we didn't have a site. I could only show some front-end images as I did to you. And mm-hmm. people could get skeptical, but it was very, very well perceived when it came to that. Maybe because most of them know Lo-Fi Luke, know Clover Records, and are within the scene. So I guess I have to say thank you for everybody that trusted us with like launching their packs. Like your packs, it's on that already, and we got some good stuff coming up with each of those packs. So yeah
man, well I think like most people probably see it as I'm seeing it. One, the lo-fi community can benefit from it, and two, the sigh of relief to turn over marketing for me is just like, ah, oh, thank you. So I think it's going to be phenomenal. And I think it's probably, there's probably some really talented producers within our community or instrumentalists or artists in our community that haven't created sample packs yet just because they didn't want to go through the process of finding a home to sell it. Where I think now, knowing that marketing and the platform will be taken care of, I think they may be more willing to get into the studio and try to create sample packs, which is beneficial for everyone.
That's what we're hoping for. When the platform is there, when people know there's a way that they can get exposure on their products, we really hope that people want to create more sample packs and put a really like great effort into creating new sounds that is going to evolve the genre even more. There is some front-end figures that has their own type of sound where people try to some artists might try to listen to that and see how they're doing. If they were to sell sample packs with stuff, of course it's all up to them if they want to share their sounds and stuff like that. But if they were to do it, it would just be a more way simpler process for them. So and another thing that it's going to be really interesting with the Fader site is since they're all on the site, we will be able to bundle packs together between artists. And that is something that has not been done at all. And it's not possible to do if unless you reach out to Gosan and you want to like create a post and we want to sell these two packs as one for a discounted price. And that's a really interesting feature of Fader, I believe. Because when you sign up to become a creator, you get the question, do you want to opt in for product bundling and sales? And there's a long description to that, but it pretty much say that if you check this box, you will give Fader, the Fader team, the you're okay in working your products in sales or bundling them with products that we believe are similar or a good fit to a consumer. Without having to ask you first.
Yep.
And what that does is it puts a lot of trust in us that we will not do anything weird, of course, but it also makes everything easier for us. So right now, I believe every artist we have on there has checked yes on this one, which is also amazing that people trust us that much to work the project with, like, to actually work there doing our own sales or bundling. But let's say Shill Samples. We believe Shill Samples, you have a little bit more of the Shill Hop style drums compared to a sleepy sound. I think yours would go very well with Gosan's pack that is also very Shill Hop, a little bit more punch in them. And if you both checked in this option that we'll be able to bundle it, we could create a bundle product between you that could be maybe 33% off if they buy that one, and then the revenue would be split between you two. So you both would get your share in that sale. You both would get more sales, and it would be way more interesting for the consumers to actually browse the sites, if they except compared to if they have to go to your website and then over to GhostZones if they wanted both of it.
Luke, I think that that's an incredible idea. And I think even so, the bundling is fantastic, but I think even what the bundling just inspired me to like making a collaborative pack with GhostZone, right? Like how cool would it be? So now I know all of the other artists within our community that are making packs, and it'd be like, okay, GhostZone, I'm going to go into the mountains. I'm going to record all of these one shots, take them back to the studio, create all of these different drum sounds. Now I'm going to send you all of the one shots. You make loops out of them. And then boom, we have a collaborative pack. So now it's, I didn't see that opportunity before, but to know all of the sample pack creators within our community, now we have the opportunity as artists to be like, hey, let's make a pack together, just like we do on songs.
And the store supports it. So it would be a split creator pack, and it would be able to put in the commission on the sale. So we would have 50-50 on the royalty split between you, and you wouldn't have to lift a finger regarding that.
Incredible. Ah, what a brilliant idea. I think that's going to be huge as well. Of, hey man, we've made like 12 songs together. Let's make a sample pack together. Wow, yeah. What a cool opportunity. Wow. Awesome. And then, so all of the packs are royalty free for the consumer, correct?
Every pack on there is royalty free unless the artist had put in a product policy. So when you browse a product, and if the product policy is empty, which is currently everyone, then it's free to use. If an artist would like to have their pack on there, but they would like to have a specific deal or licensing, we would put it in the product policy section of that one. So like the general rule is that everything on there is royalty free unless something says otherwise. And it also comes with this that we don't want to exclude the ones that want to have like some kind of other licensing deal for their packs. We want them on there as well, but they will have their own policy section, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Well, and as long as that's clear for the user, that shouldn't be an issue. And but it'll be interesting to see who would want to play that strategy. And I guess for me, I'm just so on the side of royalty free that like I guess I don't see the benefit for myself to do any exclusive licensing. But there's situations that I'm certainly not aware of as well. So being inclusive of those artists is probably the right move.
Yeah, we're pretty much looking for to remove every single reason that an artist don't want to be on there. And that's when those have come up. So we're going to do a royalty-free store. But what if somebody has, like, they want to split on it? Okay, let's shove in a policy section there so they can have their split on that. We still want the pack. We also do have free packs on there. So if there's an artist that has 5 free packs, they don't want to charge anything, they just want the exposure of these packs, we're going to put them on there as well, because we want everyone to be able to find what they're looking for on Fader. So even though that's just a lot of admin work for us, like signing up that, and it's not going to generate any revenue, we still want to have those packs on there, because that's what it's all about, to make the greatest portal for sample packs. And if we don't include every single part of it, then it's not going to be the best.
Yeah. Well, Luke, I think it's such a beneficial thing for the community in so many different facets, both from artists as creators, artists as consumers. Like I think it's a really special project, and I'm excited to see all of the art that is generated from it. And it's inspiring me to get back in the sample pack creation mode of creating something new and the collaborative post or collaborative sample packs. That's a really exciting opportunity as well. And I think it's, at least for me, as somebody that creates music and also sample packs, like it's definitely invigorating for me to get back in the sample pack game of, man, what else can I create? Like going up into the mountains, like what else can I create? And man, you've just re-inspired me to get back on the sample pack grind and to collaborate with some other people. So
that's nice to hear, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, your effort hasn't gone unnoticed, and I'm excited for the launch and to see some of the traffic and to help drive some traffic to the site as well. And I mean, the launch is tomorrow, right?
It's launch is tomorrow. Yeah, so I got I'm gonna get a few hours of sleep here tonight. It's 9 p.m. so I'm probably gonna go to sleep in a few hours, and then I will be at Ted's place tomorrow, and we're gonna like get everything going. And I assume there's gonna be questions, so I'm gonna be available on Discord like 24/7 for the next weeks. Gonna put my notices on, so if there's anything troubling, I'm probably gonna be online there at any time. But yeah, I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited too, man. I really am. And Luke, is there anything regarding Fader that we missed that you want listeners of the podcast to know?
I would just encourage everybody that wants to create sample packs or has created sample packs to reach out and talk with us. Even if they don't have a full graphic profile, we would be able to help out with that, to display them in a way that they maybe haven't been able to do by themselves yet. So don't be afraid of Clover. Don't be afraid of Lo-Fi Luke. And especially don't be afraid of Fader. Just reach out on Discord, on email. Call me on Discord if that's what you need to get set up. I mean, I'm here for everybody that wants to work with us. And I really hope that I'll get a lot of people interested. So
awesome. I have a feeling there's going to be a ton of interest, man. This is such a cool opportunity for artists within our community and our community as a whole. So Luke, thank you for all of the hard work that you and the team have put in thus far, and all of the hard work that you're about to put in for this launch, man. I'm so excited for Fader. I'm grateful to be a part of it. And thank you for including me, brother. And lastly, so for when this episode comes out, I'll certainly have the links in the description of the episode, but where should artists and creators that either where should artists go if they want to buy packs, or if they want to create packs and be a part of Fader as well?
So fader.com is the website. It's called FADRR.com, so it's a little bit of a weird spelling to it. But that's where you find the links both to sign up as a user or buyer, but also how to sign up as a creator. And just there's some easy steps, and we also have some guides of how to do it on there. We're probably going to be very fast at getting back to you when it comes to the approval process. So there's a little button in the bottom that says become a creator, and you also get the option when you sign up on the site that you want to sign up to as a creator or a customer. So fader.com, you're probably going to see it on our social medias if the spelling is too weird.
And people, I think it's spelled great. Luke, hey, thanks again, dude. I'm excited for the launch. I'm excited to see how much Fader grows in the next couple of months. I'm excited to see all the artists that become a part of it. And we'll never know the full extent of the amount of songs that are created from the samples that are included in Fader, but I know that it'd be a magical number to understand, especially when we share another conversation in a year and to see all the growth that has occurred. So Luke, thanks, man. Thank you. I'm excited. I might go make a sample pack today. We'll see.
Yeah, go do it, man.
All right, brother. Everybody tuning in, yeah, go check out Fader right now. I'm pumped. And yeah, we'll leave it there. Go to Fader right now. Peace.